The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Theater Performing Arts, it's Professor Arthur Beer.
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you doing, Art?
Just fine.
It was good to see you. You know, I walked by the glass enclosure over there with the vending machines.
Right.
Busily on a laptop. I was like, I think he's supposed to be down the hall, but I'm not going to interrupt him.
Terribly busy. I was doing a jigsaw puzzle.
Well, that's all right. You know, second week of the term. It's led to this. You know, what can we say? So things are well?
Yeah, just fine. Haven't been here in a long time.
That's all right. We're glad to have you. We're glad to have all of you. As I continue around the table to introduce Professor of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
And Women's and Gender Studies.
Women's and Gender Studies, that is absolutely correct. How are you doing, Claire?
Just fine, thank you.
Excellent.
Happy to be here.
Yes, we're very, very happy to have you. How's the term started for you?
Very good.
Good, excellent. Continuing around the table, Professor of History, Professor Sarah Stever.
Hi, I can't remember what I used to say. I haven't been here in more than 15 years.
Oh my.
And I was actually Sarah Gravel for a lot of this.
Oh, so she's Sarah Stever.
They were two
Sarah
different
Stever
people.
And on my left, from the Department of History, the chair of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Why, Evan, you must have whose car's in the way. I just want to get out, but I can't, because there's that car in my way.
It's Rosalind Carter.
I've been trying to back up.
She's been hitting my car.
We also continue around the table and come back to Professor Dan Maggio, the man who taught me Calc 3.
Thank you, Matt. It's a pleasure to be here.
As always.
And an honor.
And
yes.
He's wearing a Lego shirt. First Lego League.
Yes. There's room for adults, but it's really for kids. But Okay. Everybody's got a little kid in them. So.
Very good.
Listeners, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump our panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump our panel, you win one of our prizes, too. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find our group on Facebook. Today, we're actually not going to be taking any questions and answers per se.
Unless we're rude and ask each other.
We can ask each other, but there'll be no external questions, at least not the last time I checked. It's been an interesting year for Ask the Professor. We had a really great season last year, except for one thing. We did lose former host of the panel, Professor of History, Edwin DeWint. He was the host of the panel, actually, from the year I was born, 1974, through 1999. And he had been a professor at the university since 1968. Doing just the most cursory research you find, our alumni magazine did a wonderful profile on Edwin in 2005, calling him the academic maverick. I thought it was a really, really good article. And I would want to remind our listening audience that we actually had Edwin back and got some great video that you can find online right now on UDM's YouTube channel of him hosting the panel for what would have been the last time back in 2014. Some fantastic, I think Dan might remember, medieval translations that nobody on the panel could handle. And he did a very good job of running the panel, being the only person in the room who could actually solve the questions. It was wonderful, but I'm afraid that we lost him this year in 2016. And we wanted to make sure that we had a group of folks. Professor Greg Sumner, also from History, sends his regards. He wanted to be with us today but couldn't be here. With these wonderful folks from a different generation of Ask the Professor to come back and remember Edwin on the air in any way possible. And I got to tell you, listening at home, I had to stop these folks from spilling all the beans before we turn the tape on. We don't even use tape anymore, actually, now that I think about it. So we just want to... No, we don't. This is all digital. But what we want to do is give the panelists a chance to remember Edwin in the best possible way. I figured I would just start things out. I've been at the university now for 15 years, although I was a student during the mid-90s, and I didn't actually have Edwin for any classes, but a bunch of my friends did. And I was wondering if anybody could fill in the gaps. There was something about some phraseology on his syllabus that was particularly amusing, and I can't remember exactly what it was. Oh, Claire remembers.
I think Edwin was taken to task for some cartoons on his door as well. That's a different issue. His syllabus for, I think, History 150 or whatever it was called said stuff about how to do well, what you were expected to do. And then he said, if you don't really care and you just want to barely get a B, and that means you business majors, do this.
Oh, my gosh. It was there in black and white, huh?
It was there in black and white.
We should say right from the beginning, he was one of the most irreverent people you will ever meet.
Yes.
And so there's going to be a lot of irreverence on this show.
Wow.
The University of Detroit, Mercy.
We're up here in the Belfry.
Presents Ask Quasimodo. Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit and Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers.
Hey, I was really disappointed when Matt told us we had to say good things about him.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, you could say things, great things, good things, you know, it's completely up to you. But yeah, I only interacted with Edwin besides that one show he did in 2014 once. I met him at a social gathering, and he was just, it's interesting because I feel like he didn't vacillate as if he was Jekyll and Hyde, but he could be, you know, using that voice and just speaking in the most dulcet tones and very erudite, and the next minute, you know, other things were happening, and it was always very interesting. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
In many ways, he was one of those really funny, irreverent, satirical people who cared actually very, very deeply, cared about the university, and also cared about history and his research.
Absolutely.
Speaking about history, his specialty was medieval villagers, rustic people. And I remember when he gave me his card, it said he was a bumpkinologist.
Yeah. That was on his door.
Oh, my gosh.
Above the cartoon that probably Claire is referring to. But that's the place I would, even when I worked here, I taught in the building especially, I would always go to his door.
Me too.
Even when I was passing through the building, I always made it to his door there. Right. He had the knack of finding the funniest cards and great sense
punch
of
cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
Punch cartoons. But I think Matt is right when you talk about his erudition. I mean, he knew so much. And the way the show ran then was we would get questions, and we would invariably answer them, but we would answer them only because Edwin gave us so many hints.
In the Outlaw Josie Wales, what song does Clint Eastwood request at the party?
Mandy.
Why not Misty?
Muskrat Love.
Play That's Misty it. For me. Is what he says.
Think of a flower in the southern state.
The bluebells of Texas.
Well, move over. Go to the right on the map.
The right
of Georgia. It's a rose.
Rambling rose.
And it's the Rose of Alabama.
I never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
That's the problem.
He knew he could find some way of. He was a polymath. He knew, and he was a very erudite man.
But the quality you have too.
Oh, you think so?
You have to have that quality, or this would be a horrible show because we wouldn't be able to answer any questions.
Describe for the listeners, Dan, because even I remember that from being a student and having classes in this building, and pretty much every semester I was here, about what his door was all about. I mean, it was basically this giant forest of tape and cartoons and like greeting cards and like anything that had like a gag to it. You know what I mean? There was no story, bits and pieces of information. Is that right?
So he must have had at home stacks and stacks of just a really funny cards that he got from Middle Earth in Ann Arbor.
Of course.
One of his favorite places to shop. And I don't know where in England and London he bought cards, but he would change them on a weekly basis. Some were always there, like the, I won't say it on the air, like the roast pig.
The
one
roast
in the middle.
Suckling pig. But the letters were sort of medieval.
Mixed up a little. So.
Or the carousel where you looked at the horses and they were the four horses of the apocalypse.
So those would be there, and then he would rotate the rest. But his door was full of them.
And he was taken to task for it, and so he put up a warning sign.
Yeah, Right, that's right. Don't instead of ta- he was told to take them down. Instead, he put up a warning sign saying, you read this door at your own risk.
That's right.
Being offended by something not politically correct.
So did something make it back to the administration about a more recent thing or, you know, something specific that would have been posted or...
Oh, no, it was just regarded as generally offensive.
It would have been a student who was bothered.
Of course.
When
of course.
It came to political correctness, though, Edwin went at it with a jackhammer. Hated political correctness. Anyone who was offended, he made sure to offend again as soon as possible.
Clearly, based on his syllabus alone.
Yeah.
And he wrote these satires under the name of Viola da Gamba.
Oh, wonderful.
At the end, in which he would attack different people. And finally, the administration got wind of these and decided it had to stop. And they decided who could Viola da Gamba be. And they settled, it must be Sarah Stever because she's a Renaissance person. Oh, so they sent a campus cop over to talk to me.
No.
And yes, this all happened.
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Was laughing my head off saying, you know, I've always wondered myself who that is. It's sort of like the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Exactly.
And he wrote down in his notebook, Scarlet Pimpernel, you know. And then they seek him there, that damned elusive Pimpernel. And then I took him out of my office, and my office is right next to Edwin's. And he then thumped on Edwin's door and said, this man has a heart of gold. This man is an angel. He was so good to my daughter, who was his student. This man would never hurt a fly. And it was Edwin's door.
Oh, my God.
So I took the rap for being Viola da Gamba.
Absolutely
awesome.
I just
love the idea of Sarah Stever being... accosted by a campus cop.
Yeah, for being Viola da Gamba.
I actually got the visual from the little cop's notebook right down the Scarlet Pimpernel. Oh my gosh, that's incredible. In the time that I've been a part of the show, starting as a panelist when I first started the university in 2002, I remember submitting questions to your panel way back in the day. I had a whole bunch of questions about...
you were responsible for those terrible questions.
Yeah, you know, it was all about the ancient kings of Ireland, and what was I thinking? You know, it was just absolute madness. But in the time that I've been associated with the show, there have been many people who have passed on. You know, I'm thinking of Jerry Kurtzinger in particular, who always loved to sit at the head of the table. That's where he always was. And of course, George, thinking back to George Pickering's voice. And of course, it's just the six-year anniversary of Kathy Bush's passing fairly recently.
Yeah. I'm the one who recruited Kathy.
That's wonderful.
I figured out how funny she was from talking to her in the office. And I think I recruited Greg as well.
Those lineages of recruiting people, you know, to the show. You know, here's the man who taught me Calculus 3 sitting at the table with me.
Yeah, well, Kathy recruited me. I don't remember. I was working with her for her, and she brought me to the show, and I thought, there's no way I can compete with these guys. All these folks are so much more intelligent than me. Then I realized it didn't really make a difference.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, honoring the memory of Edwin DeWitt. A memorial service honoring Edwin is scheduled for the week of September 25th. If you would like more information on the memorial service, or if you have a memory of listening to Edwin that you would like to share, please contact Ask the Professor by emailing atp@udmercy.edu. It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your host, Edwin DeWitt, and today we have almost all the regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, man. Pleasure to be here, as always.
Wow. That's the first variation in decades, I think.
Oh, no, I've been working up to it.
Okay, all right.
First the mustache, then pleasure to be here. What's next?
Yes. And on his right, the woman he can't keep his hands off, the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
What can I say to follow that up?
I don't know.
Hello.
Say it was okay.
Yeah.
There are people out there waiting to hear.
Was it good for you?
And on Claire's right, from the Department of History,
I don't know any of you.
Professor Sarah Gravel. These were quotations. And you were to guess who said them. Who said, never lend your car to anyone to whom you have given birth?
Irma Bombeck.
Yes, Irma Bombeck, exactly. Philip Roth is a good writer, but I wouldn't want to shake hands with him. Who said that?
Somebody after Portnoy's complaint.
Exactly. and who was it? It was a woman.
figures there would be a woman.
A writer? A writer of schlock, basically. Now deceased. One of her novels was just reproduced by a computer, or a new novel.
Somebody's writing in the style of. Yeah, you call it style.
Exactly.
Well, she's not known to have shaken hands with anybody.
No.
I do have a George story.
Please.
So when Women's Studies was founded in the early 90s, and I think I must have been on the show for a while before that, so we had some fans. Some really liked Sarah. They didn't even have pictures of us, I think, but they had some crushes, especially on Sarah, but maybe me too. So someone wrote in and said, well, why do you have something like Women's Studies? I mean, shouldn't you have men's studies? And George just cut right in. There is. It's called Western culture.
Oh, dear. Wonderful, wonderful. Oh my gosh, George. Of course, everything is just you gotta think of the scratchy voice, you know, in the back of your head when you hear him say things like that.
Yes.
Perfect delivery. We've just had so many of those wonderful flashbacks that Michael puts together, and I had him for Religion and Science, which I would never go back and not take. I try to get my students to take that now, but I tell them, like, it would be it's totally different if it was taught by Professor Pickering.
Yeah. Who teaches it now?
It's a good question. I don't really know. I'm not exactly sure that subdiscipline is represented well. It might be an adjunct or an instructor. Right. But he taught that class, and we had so much fun. It's so weird to say. We read all these books, and just in lecture, it was just him talking and telling crazy stories, and just wonderful, absolutely wonderful class.
They were so close. Edwin and George, yeah. And they sparked each other.
They lived down the block practically from each other.
Did they?
Well, yeah. Close enough. But yeah, they were.
But they were
they
really.
Sparked on each other, yeah. You're right.
And the parties at their houses were memorable.
Okay, well, let's go down that road then. How about how memorable were they?
They were so memorable. I can't remember them.
My gosh.
It is a beautiful house, and it really is sort of suited to a medieval.
Yes. Okay.
Right, and George was such a host generally that you would go to parties and a large number of the people in the room didn't know who the host was because they'd always heard of George.
Like Great Gatsby.
Somebody had invited somebody, and you know, and George was just so genial. Yeah, he just was.
And he had the most beautiful fireplace in the whole neighborhood. It was incredible.
I remember, Claire, when you said you recruited Greg to the show, which you did, I remember recruiting Greg to the department.
Wow.
He's such a fantastic professor and popular professor, but the thing that decided him was a party at George Pickering's house. You know, he really wasn't sure, but then he went to a party at George Pickering's house and said, this is the place I want to work.
Yeah. And I remember when he first came on the show how young he looked. Yeah. He looked like one of the students.
Without giving too much away, what general neighborhood of Detroit are we talking about that they were so close?
George was in the University District, Edwin's in Palmer Park with his beautiful old...
Sherwood Forest.
Sherwood Forest.
Very close to
each
other.
Just a mile north of here.
Yep.
Many of us faculty live in this area.
Yep. Back in the day.
Including myself.
Well, we just got a wonderful grant to refurbish the Fitzgerald neighborhood, so we're working in the neighborhood mindset again in the city. So
terrific.
And while we think about that, we'll take a break.
I don't want to just read the book. I want to write the book.
I don't want to just work for the company. I want to own the company.
I don't want to just live in the building. I want to design the building.
To some, those might sound like rather lofty goals, maybe a little out of reach.
I don't want to drive a sports car. Well, I do. I want to engineer one.
At University of Detroit Mercy, those are the people we want. The big thinkers, the dreamers, because those are the people who make things happen. Great things for themselves and others. And if you're one of them, either just out of high school or ready to transfer, UDM will make it happen for you. Call 1-800-635-5020 today or apply online at www.udmercy.edu. It's not too late.
I don't want to just hope for the cure. I want to discover the cure.
University of Detroit Mercy. We want great things for you.
And we are back. And you just simply wouldn't believe what we're talking about.
Claire's big confession.
That would have been... That's a nice sort of hat tip to Professor DeWitt in a different way. Because who knows what's not on the tape? That's
we're
what
talking
we
about medieval
here.
Architecture.
Right. Exactly, exactly.
Well, strictly an academic discussion.
Oh, my gosh.
Scholarly.
Well, you know, we had a show this summer that was hosted at Dave Chow's house, which is around the corner from my house, another interesting connection. And we were basically in this spare lot he has on the side of his house. And so we didn't have to supply the nature sounds that you guys used to have on the shows where you were picnicking.
The picnic shows.
And it was all very, yeah, you know, bucolic and everything. We actually had the real sounds, oh, nice, you know, in the background. And we dedicated the show to Edwin and did some trivia questions about his academic training and a little bit on some medieval bumpkin. That's another one that I definitely remember is how Michael will feed in these flashbacks, and you hear the little chirps in the background and everything. And it's like, oh, it's so wonderful, but we're actually in the studio, whatever.
Well, we would have those picnic shows, which were memorable because they were supposed to be at Glyndebourne. And so we would actually come to the studio in black tie, remember?
Right.
And we would have champagne.
Oh, it was lovely in champagne.
And champagne. And
so explain Glyndebourne.
And you'd hear the cows mooing in the background.
And then, yeah, they'd put in birds.
We'd go to the ha-ha.
We talk about how the cows couldn't get by the ha-ha. Right. Yes, I remember.
Edwin Ann was there this summer. Edwin's wonderful wife and co-author of many books, and it's opera in a venue for opera, which I believe was created for. When was that created?
I know.
Have you been there?
No.
So it's outside of London.
I think it was created for Wagner.
Benjamin Britten.
Yeah, okay, but it was one of the first venues for Wagner's operas and
The Ring,
right? And that's principally what they were so enthusiastic about seeing. But it did all different operas, yeah.
And I think it was so expensive that Edwin and Anne would go once a summer.
Right, you
that
do,
would
and
be
you
a big event.
Do go in black tie, and there is
very
picnics.
But
it's very high. It's very Tony thing to be doing.
Huh.
But they were very Tony. They are very Tony. Anne's a very Tony person. Edwin was it. They were very Tony.
I have a story, though, and I think Sarah has a similar one. I was in Lansing years ago while we were all still on the show, including George. And I was staying with a family, so all the girls and women in the family were in one room, and the men, the sons, whatever, were in another room. I had to get up to bring my daughter to church the next morning. She was a young teenager. And I had to set an alarm for 6 a.m. in this Lansing hotel. And the alarm comes on. I just checked the station before I set it for 6. And it comes on, and it's George cackling. And Edwin intoning.
That's wonderful.
And Sarah and whoever. And it was,
oh my gosh,
so funny, but that happened to you too.
Yeah, it happened to me. I never listened to the show. And two funny things happened. Once I was in Borders and I was, you know, sort of, might ask something in a fairly loud voice, and this person screamed from across the room, "That's Sarah Gravel." And it was this guy who used to write in all those questions to us. Remember, we had this one
Elliot,
fan.
A guy from Oak Park?
I forget his name now, but he was what we ran the show on. But,
and he was really good.
Yeah, he was really, really good. But then the other time was when I was just driving down the freeway and I heard this.
Chevalier?
Duvalier.
Yeah, right,
there
exactly. And then when I was just driving down the freeway and I heard this woman's voice on the radio, and I said, "That is the most affected accent I've ever heard." And then I realized I was listening to my own voice.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
And I have that nasal New York thing running, which I don't like to hear.
Pretty voice.
Well, thank you.
We all have voices for radio. I think we can agree that. And maybe even it's usually Dave who says we also have faces for radio. But that's
you have. That's, you are a man of many voices.
Well, yes, what I remember about Edwin is how liquid his laugh was. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. He always sounded like he was slurping over his laughs. Like that.
Oh my gosh!
Can you do an imitation? Gosh.
No, I can't. No, I can't. I couldn't possibly
I
do
couldn't
it.
Possibly.
I can do his sign-off. That's the only thing I can do, where he would go. From the University of Detroit, Mercy.
That's right. That, you did. I tried to get it earlier.
He didn't like not being consulted about the name.
Yes, I see.
He felt he could have come up with a better name.
As an alum, not just a faculty member, right? So, right.
Well, what he felt was he could have come up with the old name. It would have been better.
Right.
He just didn't want to change.
Any specific memories from the other remotes? I mean, besides being called out, Tom's Tavern definitely comes to mind.
Oh, Tom's Tavern at Seven Mile. Mm-hmm. Those were wonderful shows. Yeah.
Tom's Tavern cowbell rings in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program, on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors and their guests in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Ellen.
Oh, and I missed it.
That was it.
And today we have a lot of the regular panel with us from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Wow. Pleasure to be here, as always.
I'm speechless. Good Lord. And on George's right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Dan Maggio.
Thank you.
From the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Nice to be here, homie.
And across the table from Greg, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer.
Lovely. Simply lovely.
And on Arthur's right, from the Department of History, the chair of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
No, I'm Arthur Beer. He's Sarah Gravel. I'm Arthur Beer.
You're both wearing dresses. It's hard to tell.
I thought they'd come as J. Edgar Hoover.
The place is still popular.
Yeah, it is still
there.
Is it still there?
Yes,
yeah, no, it's still a hot spot.
And they haven't rebuilt it?
It's there every year.
I'll have to go back.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not going to reveal too much when I say we've tried for the last three seasons to get back there. They contacted us, I want to say 2013, saying, you guys still doing that thing? You want to come back and try again? You guys are inspiring me to make sure we can make this happen.
It's exciting. Your audience.
Yeah. Well, now that we have Michael's compact mixing board, we may be able to pull that off a lot easier. It's digital.
I remember this prodded a memory. Thanks, Mike. Do you remember we had Dave Wagner on the show once?
And yes.
That was so much fun. And who was the wonderful announcer before Dave? He was such a smart guy. Anyway, that was really fun.
Dave Wagner is now on WRCJ.
Oh, okay.
He's so funny. Okay.
He was a graduate of Belle Isle Conservatory and handing out pens that had the initials on it.
And then I have one other memory that was off campus. It wasn't for a show, but it's a great Edwin memory. And it was when he and Anne came to visit me in Italy. We have a wonderful summer school, we still do, in Italy in the summer to study art history and architecture, and et cetera, in Volterra. And he came to visit, and although Edwin is Latin and ancient languages, no problem, and he can read many languages, he couldn't speak Italian. So what he would do is he knows by heart the librettos of almost every opera in the world. So he would adapt Italian opera to whatever circumstance he was in.
He would sing his questions?
He would sort of give
it. Che gelita, manina.
And waiters and waitresses just loved him because he was spouting Verdi at them.
He loved opera so much, that much people have said many, many times. I feel like if he had committed himself with that voice, he probably could have just knocked the socks off of people, you know?
I think he could sing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that was his dream that he'd be at an opera and they would come out and say, we have terrible news that the singer has just dropped dead. Is there anybody who could sing this part?
Oh, my gosh.
And didn't we have punsters?
Oh, unfortunately, it's time for us to say goodbye. We've run out of time. Professor Maggio?
Thank you.
Professor Stever? Professor Crabtree?
So glad to be here.
Professor Beer?
Delightful.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Meyer.